Ah, Mr. Pfeiffer, I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, I just got here myself. Thank you for meeting with me.
Where would you like to conduct this interview? We could go to my room upstairs, or there's a cafe around the corner.
This lobby seems comfortable enough.
Then please, sit down. Oh, forgive me, but I don't recall which newspaper you are with.
I'm the editor of a paper called Die Nachrichten Sendung. It's for German expatriates living in New York. A small rag, really.
Why do you want to interview me?
You're German, obviously. And I'm a member at the Methodist Church where you spoke last week. After hearing your views on the moral conditions in Germany, I thought you'd be a perfect candidate for an interview.
Then I will hope to affirm your confidence and not be boring.
Thanks. Now, let me get a few details straight.
Yeah.
You're the son of Karl Bonhoeffer, the renowned psychiatrist at Berlin University.
He is my father, yes. My mother is Paula of the von Haas family.
Ah, aristocracy.
Oh, I suppose to some degree, but we never felt as if we were. My father's family was far more middle class.
Oh, is there such a thing as middle class aristocracy?
If it is possible, then our family was.
Now, as I understand it from your comments last week, you decided to become a minister at a relatively young age. You studied theology at Tübingen?
My father's college.
Mm-hmm. And after a semester of that, you spent Easter in Rome.
1924.
You said the other night that it was important to you.
It was important because it was the first time I got a sense of the universality of the church. To see such a diverse mass of people worshipping at St. Peter's gave me a new appreciation of Catholicism, though I continue to argue some of their doctrines. Nonetheless, I came away with a deeper understanding of the concept of church and faith, doctrine and life.
I see. Well, besides Rome, where have you been, and what have you done?
I spent a year in Barcelona working as a curate for a church there.
And in great poverty, you said the other night.
The church was an assembly of German expatriates, but we worked closely with the poor in our area. It was a shock to encounter such poverty. We worked very hard as a church to help alleviate it.
It must have been a helpful preparation for your work now in Harlem.
Oh, yeah, yes, I suppose it was. Though the poor there were poor for economic reasons, not because they are oppressed like many of your Negroes are here.
Well, for a member of the German aristocracy, you're outspoken on behalf of the Negroes.
Ah, I am grieved by any group of people who are put down or trampled under. I believe that as a Christian, it is my responsibility to help stop it.
Mm-hmm. Well, some call that a social gospel.
Ah, and so it is. The gospel is very social. How can we, as Christians, show Christ to our world unless we are willing to do as he did? Reach out to strangers, help the poor and the sick, minister to any and all who come across our paths.
And in Germany, where the Jews are being harassed?
The inflammatory writings of a few extremists do not constitute the feelings of the entire German people. I'm not aware of any concerted efforts to oppress the Jews.
Yes, but Hitler made it very clear in Mein Kampf that his platform, if he achieved power...
But Hitler will not attain that level of power.
And if he does, Germans are remarkable in their respect for authority. If Hitler or someone like him gets to the top, what will you, as a good German, do?
It will be premature to offer an opinion on a hypothetical situation that will likely never occur. I think we are out of time. Thank you, ladies, for your patience and attention. Are there any questions?
Reverend Bonhoeffer?
Yeah, Mrs. Grover.
The ladies and I talked about it, and we decided that there was no way we were going to let you go back to Germany all uptight and stiff like you is.
Uptight?
You need to cut loose a little.
Oh, yeah.
Take a rest from all that theological mumbo-jumbo.
Uh-huh.
Which is why we have a present for you.
Oh.
Here you are.
Mrs. Grover, ladies, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything until you open it.
This class, your church, has been more than gracious during my time here. Thank you for accepting me into your fellowship, your homes, and... Oh, wunderbar.
Oh, Well, we figured you'd like some gospel albums to play for all your hoity-toity theological friends in Berlin. We got you the Fisk Jubilee singer, the Blue Jay singers, Mahalia, and the Johnson singers, and something by those new boys, the Mills brothers.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
We just don't want you to forget us when you get back to your own country.
I wouldn't forget you, Mrs. Grover. I couldn't. Ah, you ladies. This church, my friends at the seminary, you have all been my great liberation. To you, my world has enlarged, as has my faith. Thank you for these records and for everything.
You're welcome. Hope you enjoy them.
That's quite a collection of music, Dietrich. I don't even have these records. I hope you realize what it cost them to get these for you. Money isn't something they have.
Well, don't you think I know, Franklin? I knew the instant they handed me the box. But I will play them for my friends in Germany, you know. I want them to hear, to understand.
Do you think they will?
I don't know. Perhaps it's impossible to understand without experiencing what happens here. Feeling it.
Feelings? Dietrich Bonhoeffer is talking about feelings.
Oh, wait, Franklin, let's go in here, have a cup of coffee.
Where? In here? I don't think so.
Well, why not? It looks like a clean diner.
I can't go in here. They don't serve my kind.
Well, that's ridiculous. It's a diner on the edge of Harlem. How could they not serve Negroes? Let's go in. Come on, I'm sure it'll be all right.
I'll go in, but consider yourself warned.
Oh, it's crowded. Ah, there's a table.
Dietrich.
Come along.
Hey, you! Where do you think you're going?
With my friend to that table.
Oh, really? And says who?
Well, actually, it was my idea, sir. We're here for a cup of coffee.
Scram.
I beg your pardon?
Let's go, Dietrich. I told you.
No, wait, Franklin. This hardly seems fair. There were no signs posted, no indication that you couldn't come in. No, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I have to insist that you serve us coffee.
Oh, you insist, do you? Hey, what are you anyway? You some kind of foreigner?
I am German.
Yeah, you and the Kaiser. Now, beat it.
Come on, Dietrich.
What if we refuse to leave until we've had our coffee?
Well, then I'll get any one of these customers here to help me throw you out. Now, get... Oh!
My records! Look what you've done! For your sake, I hope they're not broken.
For my sake? For your sake? Better get that nigger music and your boy out of my diner, Spregency.
Das ist doch die Höhe. Dein schlechten Benjamin lasse ich mir nicht gefallen.
Dietrich.
Go on, son. Come on. You can swear at me in your crowd language good enough, but you want to try your luck with your fists? Huh? Come on. Take a swing at me. Come on.
Sir, I would enjoy nothing more than to take a swing at you. But I suspect that my behaving ignorantly will accomplish little to change your ignorance. We will take our business to more worthy establishments. Come, Frank.
Hey, did you hear that? We will take our business to more worthy establishments. Come on. Isn't that what I wanted in the first place?
I promise you, Franklin, if the blacks ever become godless, I hold white America responsible. How, in the name of Christ, could one race treat another so callously and still believe they maintain a Christian nation?
You had me worried, Dietrich. I don't know how I'd explain a brawl to the professors at the seminary. I'm glad you calmed down.
Calm? I am not calm. I'm nowhere in the proximity of calm. Frustrated in my helplessness, baby. Livid beyond the limits of endurance, possibly, but not calm.
Good. Just checking.
How can you be calm when you are faced with such mind-boggling prejudice?
I'm used to it.
Well, I am not used to it. Please, I can't talk about this now. I need time to think.
All right. But Dietrich.
Yeah?
Tell them in Germany, will you? Tell them what's happening to us and show them what we are really like. You've seen both sides now. So tell them.
I will, Franklin.
Bonjour, Dietrich.
Oh, hello, Philippe.
I haven't seen you in a couple of days. What have you been doing?
Oh, studying as usual. Thinking.
Here? On the docks?
I enjoy watching the people, the boats, come and go. It helps me think.
Frank told us about what happened at the diner. Peter and Mary are terribly concerned.
Oh, my records were hardly scratched.
I don't think they were worried about your records. But they were worried about you. They say you have been preoccupied since the incident. You've been less accessible than usual. What happened, Dietrich?
Allow me to begin with the academic terms. If a government allows bigotry, as we have seen here in America, and we are subject to the authority of the government...
As Luther said.
Then what is the role of a conscientious Christian? To dissent, albeit peacefully?
Tell me honestly, were you thinking of protesting that diner peacefully when the manager threw you out?
No, I wanted to knock his block off. That's what disturbed me the most.
Your impulse to violence.
Well, suddenly the academic question of bigotry and oppression were no longer academic. They were real. I am a man who likes to deal with life rationally, to the degree that as mature, thinking creatures, we can come to reasonable conclusions and affect our lives. But there I was, faced with a man who had no desire to be rational or reasonable, and I wanted rid of him.
Those feelings are understandable, Dietrich. Often I am furious by what I see, and I wish I had the means to obliterate the ignorance and evil. You see, this coming from a diehard pacifist.
I am not a pacifist like you, but I believe in the love and peace of Christ. Even as I wanted to harm that restaurant manager for his abusiveness, my heart went out to him, and I knew that raising a fist to him would be the same as hitting Jesus himself. The conflicting emotions were very hard, very, confusing.
But you did not hit the man.
No, I didn't.
So, Christ prevailed.
I want to believe that he did. I don't know. But for a moment, I thought it was the only way to deal with him. Philippe, I have been thinking again and again about your question.
Oh, forgive me, Dietrich, but which question? I've asked you so many.
Am I a German first or a Christian?
Ah, yes?
If the situation I have witnessed here happened in Germany with the blessing of the German government, then I believe I would have no choice but to dissent. You are right, Philippe. Our allegiance must be to the eternal, to Christ himself, over and above all things. I'm a Christian first and foremost, a German second. And I can only hope to God that the two will never oppose each other.
But they will, Dietrich. You know they will.
Yeah, I know.